Blog Talk Radio.
Showdown with Moses versus excuse me, Moses versus Pharaoh, and Aaron's along at his side. So this will be very interesting to see how this goes. Excuse me. Let's get right to it now, shall we? So if you'll turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus. We're going to look at the book of Exodus right now, chapters 5 through 8, at least as much of that as possible. For whatever reason, the chat room's not working. I like to have the chat room open, so that way I can, if anybody wants to talk, I can type and talk at the same time. I haven't really had anybody other than, like, rare few occasions, but I like the idea of having it open. For whatever reason, it's not working. Just keeps wanting to load and load and load and load. Alright, well, maybe I'll just do it this way and see if this works, and if not, oh well. There we go. We'll do a different window. Maybe that'll help. Well, that part worked. Okay. All right, we can do that. I can deal with that. All right, well, anyway, let's get to the book of Exodus. We'll look at Exodus chapter... No, I don't want to. There we go. Okay, I don't know why it's trying to give me multiple chat room opens. There we go. Okay. All right, we got that all situated there. Sorry about that. All right, so if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 5, if you have not done yet so, chapter 5, and we'll go from there. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence." Boy, with the sword. Excuse me. The king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tail of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go sacrifice to our God. Let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. All right, so, pause for a second. This is a very discouraging first round, because Pharaoh is hoping to squash them real quick by saying, well, this is what happens when you try to rebel. You want to be treated a certain way? Well, I'm going to respond to you a certain way. So he decides he wants to crack down on the Jews by punishing them for what Moses and Aaron do. And he was hoping to do this. This is a very smart thing he did, because he was hoping to get the other Jews to be like, hey, you guys be quiet and quit getting us in trouble kind of mentality. He wanted to get the Jews against each other by doing this, because by punishing them with more difficult work, he wanted them to not keep in mind who the Lord was. He didn't believe that the Lord was God, for one, because he's like, I know not who this Lord is. But at the same time, he's also like, you know, arrogant and thinking, oh, well, my gods are superior, and I'm not worried about this Lord. And he's also trying to get the people against each other by making the work harder. He's like, you guys are just wanting to be lazy, and I'll teach you a lesson, and I'll make it so that you guys won't want to rebel ever again, blah, 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 you know. He was hoping that they would never rebel again, and they would look in history and be like, this is the day that we had easier work, and then we had the gall to be ungrateful and rebel, and now we have it this way. You know, this is what happens when you rebel kind of mentality. And a lot of people have done this in history. The British did something similar when it came to us, the United States. They wanted to... It's not that we necessarily wanted to be our own nation right away. It's that we complained at one point that taxes were too high. And what did the King George do of England? He made taxes higher. Like, you think they're high now? You know, I'm going to make them even higher for you. That's basically what he did. He came out with different taxes. I think it wasn't that exact word. He's like, all right, well, you don't have to pay this tax, but now you got to pay this tax. And this other tax was worse than the other tax, I think. I'm trying to remember all the taxes that they did in England back in the day. I know one was... Oh, yeah. I remember one was in regards to sugar and tea, a sugar tax, and that was, they would make sugar really expensive on purpose because of that, and one of the other last straws is the idea that they're like, well, we're going to start to save money putting soldiers in your houses now, so that you got to help feed them, and they live with you now kind of thing, and these are British soldiers, they desire the best, and you're going to give them the best, or else you're going to be in trouble, saith the King of England kind of mentality. I don't remember everything, but I remember that much from my history. It's probably worth something studying up again, especially because there were many Christians back in those days, and I'd be curious as to read some of the readings of those Christians. But anyway... And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake unto the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where ye can find it. Ye ought not of your work shall be diminished. Yet ought not of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And when the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today and heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants?" Oh, that came out of nowhere. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, hold on a second. That just felt weird. I felt like I was almost choking on mucus. I don't know if I'm getting sick again, but it's every now and then I get mucus morning with allergies and stuff, and coffee helps a lot, not just in regards to energizing, but in regards to keeping that at bay. There, hopefully that helps. Sorry about that. All right, so what we've read so far, though, is the taskmasters have enforced this new rule, and they're having difficulty finding replacement straw, like little bits of stubble here and there, but it's not enough to do the same amount of work that they had once done, even though Pharaoh wants it to be the same way, and now the other members of Israel are like, "Why are you being so harsh with us? What the heck is going on?" And they say in Exodus 5:16, "There is no straw given unto thy servants." And they say to us, "Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." And he said, Ye are idle, therefore ye say, "Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall be no straw given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks." And the officers of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, "Ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task." So he's trying to get the people to not want to rebel, and trying to squash them and trying to turn them against Moses and Aaron, the one that the Lord had set up in regards to freeing him. In fact, let's see how they respond to them. And the officers, I read that. "And they met with Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, 'The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us.' And so Moses returned unto the Lord and said, 'Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to these people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.'" In fact, now he's questioning whether he should continue on or not, Moses, at this point. And you know, isn't that how life is sometimes? When God wants us to do certain things and it doesn't happen just like that. No, we're wondering, and maybe I'm thinking of this wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to even do this at all, kind of mentality. Excuse me. And yet, we see with biblical history that God helps them prevail, and they get freed from Egyptian slavery. But it takes time. And God does this on purpose, not only to show Pharaoh his superiority, but at the same time to give the people a reasonable amount of, hey, the Lord's at work here kind of experiences, to where they can't, in any rights, say, oh, you never were with us. We got out by our own strength. No, it was by the Lord that you got out of Egyptian slavery. We'll read more about that here in just a minute. Ooh, John Wesley's got a huge paragraph. at Exodus 5:22, I'm going to read that really quick. He expostulated with him. He knew not how to reconcile the providence with the promise and the commission he had received. Is this God coming down to deliver Israel? Must I hope to be a blessing for them, to become a scourge to them? By this attempt to get them out of the pit, they are but sunk the farther into it. Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Even when God is coming toward his people in ways of mercy, yet sometimes he takes such methods that they may think themselves but ill-treated. When they think so, they should go to God by prayer, and that is the way to have better treated in God's good time. Why is it that thou hast said to me, Pharaoh has done evil to this people, and not one step seems to be taken toward their deliverance. It cannot but sit very heavily upon the spirit of those whom God employs for him, to see that their labor doth not good, and much more to see that it doth hurt eventually, though not designedly. So yeah, basically John Wesley says some very similar things I just said, and maybe a little more eloquently. That's why I read these sometimes, because it's nice to be able to read from people like that. Okay, so that was the end of chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 6. Oh, excuse me. Then the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Strong hand meaning he'll want them to get out real quick, like, get out of here, I don't want you in here anymore, kind of like as though it's like a dirty pig in somebody's kitchen. You're like, get out of here, you stupid pig, you're getting my kitchen dirty, go away, shoo, kind of mentality. I kind of picture here when the Lord says a strong hand, like, you really want them to get out. Oh, don't worry, God said. Yeah, I'll make sure that the Pharaoh doesn't want you just out, but he really wants you to get out of Egypt. Like nobody's business. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, and by the name of the God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be with you, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land of concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and they will give it to you as an inheritance. I am the Lord. So he's reminding Moses to remind the people, hey, I'm not just going to let you go and have Pharaoh let you go. I'm going to make him want to really let you go like nobody's business. And don't forget, I was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your ancestral leaders. I was with them the entire time. They had their struggles. And I have not forgotten the prayers of everybody here in Israel, or all the Israelites, excuse me. Do not forget that. Tell the people this. Basically, that's what God's saying. And I will show Pharaoh. I will make an example of Pharaoh. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, that he let the people, the children of Israel, go out of his land. And Moses spake unto before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who I am of circumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto the king Pharaoh of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok, and Palu, and Hezron, and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jeruel, Jamim, and Ohodad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shoal, the son of a Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon. And I'm going to skip these. I'm going to keep going up until... And it came to pass, there we go. These are they that spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from the armies. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass that day, when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? So God is trying to encourage Moses. Moses is not exactly the most encouraged right now, but he's seeking the Lord's help. He's like, I can't do it. I need your help, God. I really do. And the Lord's trying to get wants Moses to try to get the Jewish elders on his side, and at the same time to have confidence in the Lord, to have faith. The Lord said, chapter 7, 1, unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay upon my hand Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, that the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Wow, so that's when he was 80 years old. That's crazy to think of. According to John Wesley, Moses was 80 years old. Joseph, who was only a servant to Pharaoh, was preferred at 30 years old. But Moses, who is to be a god to Pharaoh, was not so dignified till he was 80 years old. As if it is fit he should long wait for such an honor and be long in preparing for such a service. So the Lord is really taking a lot of time with this, but it is worth it because of the great result that happens here. Now he's basically like, okay, well, we'll show him. You're gonna basically be my representative as God, and Pharaoh, and Aaron's gonna be like your prophet. You'll show him the type of magic tricks that he needs to see. We'll play his game. And the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They did also in a manner with their enchantments. So these are actual magic users that Pharaoh has in his servant in his service, these satanic sorcerers, and Pharaoh's like, I want you to replicate that. Maybe this is just a magic that they learned. And they're able to replicate it with their magic so far. But it's not superior magic. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So their snake was superior to the other snakes. It destroyed the other snakes. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth before. He goeth out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river of brinks, against he come. And the rod which turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, is in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are on or in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loath to drink in the river the water. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of water that may become blood, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So, one thing that is not good about kid depictions of the Bible with this account is that they have the miracles just start happening, you know, these plagues happening all within Pharaoh's courtroom. Like, it just seems like out of nowhere after they're talking to Pharaoh in the courtroom, oh, well, now the rivers are full of blood, and then it shows the blood, the red liquid kind of cartoon depiction. The only problem with that is, from what I've just read here, God is saying to Moses and Pharaoh not to do this just right then and there, but when Pharaoh's about to go take a bath in the river of Egypt. So right when they need the water, basically, is when, boom, that plague's supposed to take place. He's supposed to say, hey, Pharaoh, before you take that bath, you better let my people go. And if he says no, then turn the water into blood, basically. So that's a more realistic depiction here, and I would love to see that in the original tale. But anyway, and Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in sight of Pharaoh and in sight of his servants, and all the waters that were by the river that were turned to blood. Now just imagine that. You see... This is one reason why I really hope that in heaven there's like a DVR showing these old moments. That God's like, yeah, check out these old biblical moments. You want to see how it really happened? I know you've been thinking about this for a long time, but you want to see how it happened, like in Moses' life through his visual perspective. You know, like you know that kind of thing, and him having the gall, and maybe you could even with God's DVR feel what Moses was feeling. Oh wow, he's really nervous, but he's doing it anyways. You see him boldly declare, "Let my people go, Pharaoh," and then the river like turns to blood, and you see like all the people are like, oh. You know, that's one thing that Satan doesn't want you to do, by the way, is imagine the scriptures like this. Imagine them as not just some fairy tale, but something that actually happened for real. I could just imagine Pharaoh having this scowlish look. Oh, it's you guys again. You're really going to interrupt my bath, really? Get out of the way. I need to go take a bath. And then it's like, all right, well, have it your way. And then the river turns into blood, and he just has like this what the heck kind of look on his face. Like really like, whoa. He lifted the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. All right, so at first, Pharaoh was really shocked, and he's like, hey, sorcerer, is this something you can replicate? Can you actually do this? And the Egyptians were like, yeah, we can do that. And then there was like, oh, well, they're just learning how to use magic, apparently. I ain't going to submit to this. I ain't going to be worried if you can reverse it. So at first he probably was really shocked, but then when he saw his Egyptian sorcerers were able to do it, he was like, oh, big deal kind of mentality. But we're going to learn eventually, real soon, that that's going to change. And Pharaoh went in into his house, neither did his heart set also. And the Egyptians digged around the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water in the river. And the 7 days were fulfilled, and after that the Lord had smitten the river. So for 7 days this river was blood, and they were able to barely get around it by digging around it and drinking the water and stuff, and underneath, you know, the underground water. But this is the first plague that took place. We don't have enough time to read chapter 8, but it's going to do other plagues like frogs, as well as, I think there's two plagues in chapter 8. Chapter 8 for sure is frogs, and then lice. Lice is another one, and flies. I'm skim reading this right now. And, yep, okay, so frogs, lice, and flies are basically the three plagues that take place here that we're not able to get into because it's 32 chapters and we're already over time. But one thing that I find interesting is somebody wrote this. I don't remember who did this, but somebody told me that, somehow I read this, that each of the plagues are said to be a judgment against the Egyptian gods of Egypt. You know, that they're all mockeries of different Egyptian gods that they had in their polytheistic worship. The first one that just took place with the water to blood, that was a mockery of the, I don't know what the god was called, but it was a water god that they were mocking. And then, I'm not sure what the frog one was. I'll have to look that up in sometime and share that on the Facebook and Twitter social medias. But in the meantime, that's all we have for today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when we check out. Let me take a look at what we have for our check-off list. We have just completed Exodus chapters 5 through 8. We did 1 Samuel 21 through 25 will be our study for tomorrow. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And see you again soon.